Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to TI Fluid Systems PLC's results presentation for the first half of 2018. I'd like to welcome those of you in the room as well as those of you who are listening via the audio cast. I'm Bill Cazera, CEO and President of TI Fluid Systems, and I'm joined today by our CFO, Tim Knutson. Before we start, I'd like to briefly draw your attention to the disclaimer on slide one. Moving on to slide two, and for today's presentation, I'll be taking you through the key highlights of the first half of 2018 before handing it over to Tim, who will take you through the group's financial performance. This will be followed by Q&A, so with that, let's turn to slide three. I'm very pleased to say the group has had a very strong start to the year, both financially and strategically. The first half of 2018 was an important period for us in making great strides with our key electrification strategy as well. First, let me start off with some financial highlights. Our revenue increased by approximately 3% on a constant currency basis versus global automotive production growth rates. The global automotive production market continues to be strong, and we continue to outgrow the market. We delivered a solid adjusted EBIT margin of 11.4%. Our adjusted net income increased by 32%, and we continue to generate strong adjusted free cash flow. Our long-standing, proven track record of financial performance has continued in the first half of the year, and our full-year outlook for 2018 remains unchanged. Now, moving into our strategy, we previously discussed that we had been awarded several thermal electric vehicle programs with our premium customers. Although those awards were low volume, they did demonstrate our product and system capabilities, as well as increasing our confidence in our successful executing of our electric vehicle strategy. Following on from that, I am delighted today to announce that we've made significant progress with additional successful thermal awards with two high-volume original OEMs in the first half of this year. We see increasing trends of thermal fluid management systems across electric platforms, as well as increased demand for our pressurized plastic fuel tanks for plug-in hybrid electric vehicles. I'll talk a little bit more in detail about both of these areas in a few slides. Before I move on to that, I would like to spend a moment discussing our market valuation. We are currently trading at an EV to EBITDA discount to our UK industrial peer group and European Automotive Peer Group, which makes TI Fluid Systems a very attractive investment opportunity. While we appreciate that we're in the early days of our public listing history, we do believe investors are beginning to understand our great business strengths and recognize the attractive investment opportunity as we continue delivering on our financial and strategic expectations. So moving on to slide four. As many of you know, organic growth opportunities in electric vehicles and hybrid electric vehicles has been a key focus for the group. During the first half of 2018, we've made significant progress on this strategy. The group was awarded orders for the design, engineering development, and supply of thermal management products with two leading high-volume OEMs for global electric vehicle platforms. If we combine these awards with our further expected awards for these thermal products and on these platforms, we anticipate that TI Fluid Systems will have approximately 50% share of these combined electric vehicle platforms. We believe this represents a total lifetime revenue opportunity of approximately 700 million euro based on customer planning volumes. It's also worth noting that we are single sourced for these portions of the thermal awards and the expected 8 to 10 year platform lives of these vehicles. These electric vehicles are expected to go into production in late 2019 and 2020. These thermal fluid line awards demonstrate the group's competencies as a leading fluid handling supplier and an experienced partner to the global OEMs. This strong award level further demonstrates that as the electric vehicle market develops, our business strengths should ultimately position us to have similar share and thermal products with the share we enjoy today in our exciting brake and fuel line business. Now moving on to slide five, I'd like to draw your attention to the fact that these thermal product awards are great examples of our successful business model. Worth noting is we have won all electric vehicle thermal product types to include not only the traditional cabin comfort, climate control heating and cooling, but most importantly, the new content that exists on electric vehicles related to the thermal lines for battery, power electronics, and motor drives as well. We've included example product photos on the left-hand side of the slide. Now, when you think about the reasons for our success with these electric vehicles, we believe these can be attributed to the following factors. First, our long-standing customer relationships across the organization with these OEMs are solid. Secondly, our fluid handling systems expertise, which has been in place for many decades, as you know, our competitive global footprint and vertical integration strengths, and our extensive material knowledge, capabilities, and capacity, for example, in materials such as nylon, which we believe offers the OEM significant weight savings compared to rubber and aluminum for these thermal products. Our addressable market for thermal management products is expected to increase for electric vehicles given the cooling and heating requirements for the battery, the electric motors, and the electronics, in addition to the traditional passenger cabin heating and cooling. Additionally, these thermal requirements become further optimized as complete systems, and our content opportunities should further increase. The recent thermal awards reiterate our strengths as a leading supplier of automotive fluid systems and validates our expected success as OEMs transition from internal combustion engines to the development of the electric vehicle market. Moving to slide six, we just touched on some of our success factors, and we're pleased to say that we've been able to validate our electric vehicle strategy based on these first-generation thermal product awards. However, we expect the transition to electrification to be an evolving process. Firstly, I would like to expand on sourcing. The first generation of sourcing has been more regionally based than we had expected. Similarly, the move towards global platform standardization that has occurred with internal combustion engines, we would expect that OEMs would look to reduce their design and development cost over time and move to the same global sourcing on electric vehicles. This is still work in process with the OEMs. Next, looking at thermal architectures, most of these awards have been in the form of lines versus systems. We believe that the next generation of electric vehicles are likely to be more system-based, including additional products that have increased tubing content depending on the vehicle class, size, and system design requirements. Accordingly, we expect the recent product awards to eventually develop into system awards as well, as OEMs look to further integrate thermal management components such as quick connectors, pumps, sensors, and valves. These recent awards and working with the OEMs on the designs has increased our confidence that in the future, a thermal-based systems approach could increase our content over time and progress to approximately 2 times our current content opportunity on the traditional internal combustion engine vehicles. For nylon, we've seen a solid level of interest and uptake in these thermal awards. As a reminder, in an electric vehicle, there's less temperature and pressure than in an internal combustion engine, so different materials such as nylon can be used to reduce weight, which is one of the key areas to extending battery range in electric vehicles. We believe nylon has an approximately 30 to 60% weight advantage when compared to the traditional material of rubber and aluminum used in current internal combustion engine vehicles. As electric vehicle designs continue to develop, we believe this represents a significant opportunity for increased nylon usage, which is a core competitive competency that we possess at TI Fluid Systems. Now moving to slide seven, we thought we would also take this opportunity to update you on our progress with our strategy for plug-in hybrid electric vehicles. As a reminder, in addition to the thermal management systems requirements, hybrid electric vehicles can require a fuel tank that accommodates increased fuel vapor pressure capabilities. In the balance of 2018, the group plans to launch its plug-in hybrid electric pressurized plastic fuel tank for a leading European OEM in China. This new plastic fuel tank utilizes a proprietary technology to reduce evaporative vapor emissions and contain the internal pressures through a unique proprietary design and manufacturing process. It also minimizes permeation by insertion of components into the tank during this manufacturing process. The total lifetime units of these fuel tanks is estimated at approximately 950,000 units based on customer planning volumes. I'm pleased to say that our recent wins in pressurized fuel tanks, our plug-in hybrid electric fuel tank share, is trending to more than 20%, which is higher than our existing fuel tank market share that we have today on standard plastic fuel tanks. We are leveraging our fluid systems competencies to adapt our products and support electrification trends, which continues to be a great growth opportunity for TI Fluid Systems. Now, turning to slide 8, and before I hand it over to Tim, I'd like to remind you of our key investment highlights. First, we have an experienced management team that has worked together for over a decade and has a proven track record of revenue growth and strong financial performance. We are a technology leader in highly engineered automotive fluid systems with strong market positions in our products. We're the number one supplier of brake and fuel lines around the world and number three supplier of plastic fuel tanks globally. We have a global low-cost footprint together with a strong position in China where we have wholly owned operations. This has contributed to our success in winning global business platform awards with the OEMs. We are seeing the success carry through to our thermal management products, systems, and plastic pressurized tank modules. We are strongly positioned for the electrification megatrends. We continue to deliver revenue growth with strong margins and free cash flow generation. Thank you, and I will now hand it over to Tim to take you through our financial performance. Tim?
Thank you, Bill, and good morning, everybody. Turning to slide 10, we have set out our revenue outperformance by region against global vehicle volume production growth. Global vehicle production increased in all markets with the exception of North America. Our revenue increased by 4.5% at constant currency, or 280 points above the increase in global production. Looking at the components of growth, our European revenue increased 1.9% at constant currency compared to 2.3% growth in European vehicle production. European growth continued to be strong. However, we were impacted to some extent by program ramp timing. In North America, our revenue increased 6.3% at constant currency against a 2.9% reduction in the North American vehicle production. Our outperformance was driven by strong program launches there. Asia Pacific revenue continued to be solid. Our revenue increased 5.9% at constant currency, whereas Asia Pacific vehicle production increased by 2.6%. We continue to see positive growth trends in China with new program launches. Currency did have an impact on the translation of our revenues of approximately 5% in the first half. This was mainly driven by the U.S. dollar to euro exchange rate. Turning to slide 11, as mentioned a moment ago, our revenue increased 4.5% at constant currency, or approximately 3% ahead of the increase in global volume production. We continue to see a few trends from the second half of 2017 carrying over to the first half of 2018 with positive growth across our regions. Our regional revenue continues to be very balanced. We experienced solid growth in Europe, which makes up 42% of our group's revenue. Our revenue outperformance in North America continued and makes up 28% of the group's revenue. Asia Pacific revenue outperformance was strong with the favorable growth in China and with these new business wins. The region continues to be very positive for us and makes up 28% of our overall revenue. So for the first half of 2018, our revenue performance was 2.8%. However, just to note, if we exclude tooling and prototype revenue, which can have timing impacts in our business, our product revenue outperformance was 3.3%. Turning to slide 12. Here we have set out our adjusted EBIT and adjusted EBITDA margin for the first half of 2018. As you can see, our adjusted EBIT and adjusted EBITDA margins have remained consistent with the first half of the prior year. Currency did have an impact on the translation of our results, but on a constant currency basis, underlying adjusted EBIT and underlying adjusted EBITDA continued to grow. We delivered adjusted EBIT of 201 million euros, and our adjusted EBIT margin remained solid at 11.4%. Adjusted EBITDA continued to be strong as well at 256 million euros, with a slight margin improvement of 10 basis points to a strong level of 14.5%. We did experience some slight material increases and continue to have program ramp costs, primarily in North America. However, we were successful at offsetting these with operating efficiencies and positive customer pricing. Turning to slide 13, you can see our revenue and adjusted EBIT margins by our two segments. Fuel Carrying Systems, FCS, and Fuel Tank and Delivery Systems, FTDS. Starting from the left, FCS revenues increased by 5.7% at constant currency in the first half of the year, driven primarily by strong launches. FCS adjusted EBIT margin was strong at 12.6%, but this was below the prior period by 130 basis points, mainly attributable to the impact of the previously mentioned ramp-up cost and some material cost increases, including a bit of tariff expenses mainly related to steel. Looking at the right-hand slide on FTDS, revenue grew by 2.7% on a constant currency basis to $724 million. We benefited from solid program growth in FTDS, primarily in China. In terms of margins, FTDS's adjusted EBIT margin expanded by 180 basis points to a very strong 9.6%. We're able to successfully deliver strong operational performance across this segment. Overall, we maintained our blended group margin at approximately 11% for the first half of the year, in line with our expectations. Moving to slide 14, adjusted net income increased by approximately 32% to 78 million euros in the first half of the year. On the left-hand side, we have a reconciliation of profit for the period to adjusted net income. As you can see, there are only minor adjustments during the period. This corresponded to our adjusted basic EPS per share at 15.1 euro cents. This is calculated by dividing our adjusted net income by 519.4 million ordinary shares outstanding as of June 30th, 2018. Finally, given our strong performance for the first half of the year, we are proposing an interim dividend of 3.02 euro cents per share, amounting to an absolute amount of 15.7 million euros, in line with our dividend policy of 30% of adjusted net income. The dividend will be payable one-third following interim results and two-thirds following final results, and it will be converted to sterling on the dividend record date. Turning to slide 15 and cash flow, during the first half of 2018, we generated $21 million in adjusted free cash flow, a solid increase over the prior period. Cash generation continued to be a strong measure of how well we perform to any of our peer groups. Looking at the reconciliation on the left-hand side, first, we had a significant reduction in our interest payments in the first half of 2018, driven primarily by our post-IPO leverage. As a reminder, we used the proceeds of the IPO to reduce our borrowings at the end of 2017. Secondly, we also had a slight reduction in our interest costs on our secured term loans, where we generated a 25 basis point reduction in January of 2018. Working capital outflow for the first 6 months was in line with our expectations. We continue to invest in the group with capital expenditure and research and development spending. As a reminder, our EV thermal strategy involves going to market with existing products and fuel handling competency, so we expect our capital expenditure and research and development expenses as a percentage of revenue to remain within our business model and our historical levels. Moving to slide 16, our net debt at the end of June was 903 million euros, which gives us a net leverage level consistent with the end of last year at 1.8 times. To note, our cash generation in the second half of the year is generally greater than the first half of the year. Also to note, there was foreign exchange movements of 20.3 million on the U.S. dollar portion of our secured term loans, which was offset by an increase in our cash position. Importantly, on the right-hand side of the slide, in July, we successfully refinanced our borrowing facilities by obtaining an additional 115 million euro term loans and 41 million U.S. dollar term loans, as well as the use of cash generated for operations to repay the 189 million euros of the expense of 8.75% unsecured senior facilities. The expected interest savings from the refinancing is estimated at approximately 10 million euros annually. We were also able to successfully extend maturities of the undrawn revolving credit facility and asset-backed loans by 3 years to June of 2023. This refinancing has significantly strengthened our competitive and balanced capital structure. Before we move on to Q&A, I briefly wanted to touch on the outlook for the remainder of the year. As Bill mentioned, our guidance remains unchanged. Given our positive results for the first half of the year, we expect revenue growth at constant currency to remain broadly consistent with prior year levels. Adjusted EBIT margin and adjusted free cash flow are expected to remain consistent with 2017. So with that, I would like to open the floor for questions. We have a microphone floating around. We'd be grateful if you could wait until you get a microphone so that those on the conference line can hear your questions. With that, we can start with Q&A.
Harry Phillips of Peel Hunt. Several questions, please. In terms of the 700 million euros you talk about, just to get clear, is that your share or do you get 50% of 700 million? The second question is, in terms of sort of European model ramp up, will that get better through the second half, and particularly in the context of the dreaded subject of WLTP, how do you sort of view that? And then just lastly, in terms of, is there going to be an exceptional cost on the refinancing you've just undertaken?
Sure. Just to be clear on the 700 million, that is our portion of the overall opportunity. So, you know, the way we think about it is, you know, of our opportunity, we got a 50% share, which is the 700 million, and is a really positive trend. As if you think about it in terms of, you know, the market share that Mild mentioned and our brake and fuel lines that are at 35%. You know, as it relates to our second half revenue, I think the trends we're seeing in the first half, we see in the second half, we're very diversified. We wouldn't expect to see much impact in any of the European OEMs, but might be seeing some impacts of timing, Q3, Q4. But for us, you know, given our diversity, we expect, you know, the trends to continue first half to second half. On the refinancing, yes, some of the fees and expenses that we'd see would be in the second half as we put the refinancing in place. We expect to see some amount of those in exceptionals and amortized, you know, through the period of the maturities of the facilities.
Omar Ismail from Berenberg. I was just wondering on the gross margin that you get on the sort of EV projects like the one you mentioned versus the traditional combustion work. And a second question on sort of the dynamics around trade wars and import tariffs and how that sort of feeds into to you guys.
Maybe I'll take the first, you take the second. As we think about these initial therm awards, it's one where, as you know, we're working with these high volume OEMs, most likely these platforms will be low volumes. So as we think about the low volumes, I mean, they probably are not going to be initially at our company average. You know, really to take advantage for us, we need to get to these high volume platforms in the outward years when we have some significant volumes. I think it's one where it's not going to be a huge degradation overall, but it's one where they're not at the company average initially.
With respect to, you know, as you call it, the trade wars, we, first of all, don't
know yet the outcome of that, so we continue to be patient. But even to the extent that there are tariffs on automobiles around the world, we believe that we will be able to follow our customers to the extent that they make any changes in their manufacturing locations. Look at our business model today. We have over 120 facilities around the world. Those facilities are located close to the OEM assembly plants, and as the OEMs decide to change where they're going to produce vehicles to optimize their cost, we are fortunately in a very good position to be able to follow them with our extensive global footprint. And so we're not too concerned at all about that.
Thanks.
Yeah. Question here in the front row.
Just can you talk a bit more about materials? Obviously, you've had success passing it on, but does that change the competitive position at all, new versus sort of steel, for instance? And then can you just remind us, diesel versus sort of petrol, does that make a difference to you?
I'll take the last one. I'll give Tim the first one. So, yeah, we're immune to diesel versus petrol, okay? We have comparable content on those vehicles, and so as the market will shift to one versus the other in the short and medium term, it really has no effect on TI.
As materials, typically in our business, and you've seen this for a long period of time, where there's material inflation, we're primarily steel, resins, aluminum. You know, that typically has always been passed back to the customers. There might be a little bit of timing back and forth, but historically that's been a consistent measure of a strong ways of passing back and forth material. What we did see in the first half a bit in FCS North America was, as it relates to tariffs, primarily steel. You know, there is a timing impact for us working with our customers to get that recovery. That is something that's new, not as typical as you would see in the typical raw material inflation. So we're working with our customers now. We'd expect to offset it, but it did have a bit of an impact on the margins in the first half on FCS.
But you haven't seen OEMs looking at saying, let's move to more plastic fuel tanks. You haven't seen sort of no, doesn't accelerate it when the steel price goes up.
On FCS, you're not talking plastic fuel tanks. You're talking traditional brake lines. Steel lines, so you're talking more in that regard. And on the plastic side, you're dealing with typical resins for plastic tanks, and therefore, you know, those are typically passed back to the customers, dealing with them in a typical way we deal with each negotiation with the customer. Maybe I'm not following your question exactly, David.
Other questions?
Sure. From the phone, question.
Questions from those participating on the phone?
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question on the phone, please signal by pressing star 1. We will take our first question from Raghav Gupta from Citi. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you. Good morning. It's Raghav Gupta from Citigroup. Morning, Bill. Morning, Tim. The first one would be on FTDS. So margins are obviously up strongly in the first half. Just like to understand kind of the sustainability of that, to be completely simple. When I look at Plastic Omnium and market leaders and what they're achieving, you are now achieving a margin slightly above what they are, and I'd like to just understand how sustainable you feel that is. That's the first question. Thank you.
Just as it relates to Plastic Omnium, they do produce a number of products that we don't produce, so our portfolios aren't totally aligned. On our margin, it was a very solid first half for FTDS. I mean, this margin of 9.6% is, you know, the highest under, you know, our tenure here at the company. We believe those are sustainable. I think it's going to continue to have a strong second half. I think as we talked about the business going into, you know, our business model in the medium term, we really do see more consistent margins in both divisions. So it would say in the near term, you know, second half, you could see continued positive margins for FTDS. Hopefully we get a bit of an improvement in FCS overall for the group, consistent margins. I think, and that's where we're running the business. And in the medium term, you know, both businesses should, you know, remain at these strong, consistent levels of performance.
You know, I would just like to add for the FTDS division, keep in mind that these fuel tanks in the near term are evolving to be, zero emission fuel tanks, which means they trap the hydrocarbons and they're more sophisticated in terms of the content as we move to products such as what we call the tapped fuel tank, and then they go to the next level of content with these low-pressure hybrid tanks, which, as we've indicated before, are in the 2 to 2.5 times the content value of a fuel tank of yesterday, plastic fuel tank of yesterday, right? So the requirements, the technical requirements of these tanks are increasing to meet the emission regulations around the world. And then the next step, as I mentioned, will be as vehicles move to hybrid, these tanks become even more sophisticated because they have to be able to deal with the pressures that are built up in a plug-in hybrid electric vehicle.
Yeah, so let me take that a little bit further as well, just to add, in the near term, medium term, the full plug-in hybrid market, the EV market expected to be quite low. If you look at, 2025 and like IHS, EV might be a little bit less than 5% of the market, full plug-in hybrid vehicles being a little bit less than 10% of the market. Who knows who's exactly right in that business? But for us, as you get out to that time frame, both in terms of thermal business for EVs being more high volume, being consistent with the same type of business we have in FCS, those should be, very strong margins. And as Bill mentioned, with the complexity of the tank, you can see the content per vehicle on the pressurized tank that we won and with the European OEM, that business trend should be much more positive in those outward years as well as that mix of business and PHEV and EV strengthens. But you're still talking, depending on, how the market develops in 2025, less than 15% over the overall expected global vehicle market.
Very clear. Thanks for the color. I mean, you talked a little bit about FCS and the kind of the potential margin dilution because they're low volume orders. So I'm talking about, the EV thermal wins there. On the FTDS side, when we think about these low pressure hybrid tanks, and the contract wins that you have, you have there, should we expect, are those also impacted by low volumes and therefore, may put pressure on margins? I would have thought, given the content per vehicle, that would be accretive. And are we already seeing some of that in your result today, i.e., in the margin expansion that you saw in the first half? Is there much of that from the accretion from the hybrid fuel tank?
But I think in the medium term, the way you described it is fair. We'd expect that these higher content and sophisticated pressurized tanks will be at a higher margin than average that we get in a traditional plastic fuel tank. And, that should balance out when you think about some of the low-volume thermal EV awards and maybe at a bit lower margin than the company average. So that should be balanced out. That's why the near to medium term we'd still expect to see, even as that business becomes a little bit more of our overall business, consistent margins. In the first half of 2018, this pressurized fuel tank hadn't launched. We haven't launched a lot of these vehicles at this juncture. They're at low volumes. The first half was really solid business performance and growth really in more traditional fuel tanks, primarily in China, where we've been very successful in growing our FTDS business in China. There's still the conversion of steel to plastic tanks that are happening, and that has been a very solid business for us in growth and margin. So that would be more of the first half program launch benefits we're seeing in 2018, and then as we progress and the pressurized fuel tanks become more higher volume, you'd expect us to have some benefit for us.
The last one, if I may, on FTDS and the PHEV tanks, what kind of competition are you seeing there? You refer to, your share trending towards the 20%, which is clearly better than what you're doing kind of on the existing fuel tank in terms of global market shares. What's the competitive environment like? And are your tanks, is the feedback that you get from your customers that your tanks are far superior from what else is available? Thank you.
Yeah, so our competitive landscape for those pressurized tanks is, somewhat less than a standard tank. So there are a few competitors that produce pressurized tanks. Unfortunately, our design is superior, and our customers are confirming that with the proprietary design and process that we have to insert and attach the internal structure to handle pressurized capabilities of the tank. We do not need to weld or glue the internal components with our proprietary process. Our competitors have to attach them using a welding or a gluing process, which you can imagine has some long-term concern as the fuel tank is experiencing pressures in the field, right? So our design and process is superior, and that's why our share is trending higher than our current share for standard tanks.
But just to add, they would be, the major competitors would be, you know, the same competitors we have in the plastic fuel tank market today.
Yeah.
Sure. No, got it. Okay, just if I can move on to FCS very quickly. You know, margins came under pressure in the first half. Again, you cited, you know, startup costs and material impact. You also, Tim, you talked about, you know, being able to sustain the current margin level. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, what we can expect in the second half? Is there any, are there any pressures, or you know, do you expect to be able to offset the material headwinds? And should we be perhaps looking for margin expansion in FCS in the second half? Just kind of thinking about second half specifically, given the evolution in the first half.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously we're working diligently on a lot of the program startups, and those are coming offline. So I think the way we're thinking about it at the moment, the second half, you know, versus second half of 17 margin, you know, decline, or the relative margin should probably be in the similar area where, you know, we did see the 130 basis point reduction in FCS. You could similarly see that in 18 versus 17, and continued trend of positive FTVS margin in 18 versus 17 in the second half. As we talked about consistent margins, I think that's where you're getting past 18, and in the medium term where we expect at that level if they start having a bit more stability around the consistent margin in both divisions.
Sorry, just to be clear, the 130 basis points of margin deterioration that you saw in the first half of 18, are you saying that you expect that to continue in the second half? I missed your response. Pardon me.
In that range, I mean, there's still a lot of variables that we're working through, but in that range, and the same benefit year over year that we see in FTDS should see the same second half to first half. So for the group, you know, again, consistent margins are our expectations, and that's really how we manage the business. We're looking for consistent margins on a group basis. We're driving our growth in the longer term towards EVs and plug-in hybrids, and ensuring that we have that right capital expenditure R&D levels to support that growth that generates the strong cash flow. So that's how we're managing the business. We believe that this business has such a strong cash flow generation ability that, you know, investors in the market will become to more appreciate how strong it is across, you know, this industry, across industrials and peer groups. So that is the focus of the business here in the near term. And with this EV announcement, pressurized tank announcement, we're really pleased with where we're at.
Okay, super. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Other questions from the phone line?
Yes, we will take our next question from Henning Kosman from HSBC. Go ahead, caller, your line is open.
Hi, good morning. Thanks a lot. So maybe to start on that very point. Hi, good morning. On that very point, could you just clarify what consistent means in terms of margins? Consistent, you mean the same level across both divisions in double-digit territory, or consistent with 2017 levels as far as FCF as goes, and on the 2018 level with FTDS, or just maybe to clarify that?
I mean, it's a bit early when we think about margins in both businesses for, you know, 19 and beyond. But given the trend in the first half of 18 for FCS and the trend of FTDS for the first half of 18, assuming that's in a similar trend line in terms of, you know, margins for 18, you know, that would be below, you know, the FCS would have a lower margin than they did in 17. FTDS would have a higher margin than they did in 17. And then from that standpoint, I think it's fair, from what we know today, to think about consistent margins from that level, you know, in the near term for the two divisions and segments. There's a lot to play out, you know, in the course of the balance of this year. Going into 19, in the medium term, so we'll see where that develops. And we're not talking about, you know, material changes in these margins. Both of these businesses are running at strong margins, both for the divisions, the products, and versus the peer group. But if I was sitting here today, given the first half performance, I would say, you know, you could look at the baseline from the end of 18 and say that's probably from a consistent margin where the businesses should be at. But most importantly, that's where we see the group at from a consistent margin basis in the near term.
That's helpful, thank you. And obviously great to see the success on the thermal products for the EVs. If I can just clarify on the 50%, I understand the 700 million, that's your share already, but I think the wording you use on the slide is awarded and expected business. So are you saying of all EV platforms to be awarded, you're expecting to have a global market share of 50%?
With these two high-volume OEMs on those platforms. So what we have been is we have been awarded a piece of the 50% with purchase orders, and we expect the balance to come to get to that 50% share or 700 million of the overall, you know, roughly 1.4 billion opportunity.
Okay, that's clear. And could you remind us of the content per vehicle opportunity of these thermal products in a case where you sell your maximum potential content in, say, a mid-sized SUV or mid-sized sedan?
Yeah, so the content per vehicle of these electric vehicles ranges depending on the variant. You know, we have content that ranges anywhere from €50 to €150 on these initial vehicles, which are not full systems. And, you know, when we look at the average content across the platform, we're at a content level currently that is at or slightly exceeds the content of a fuel tank today. And this really bolsters our confidence that as we can replace the fuel tank today with thermal content on these early designs, which are not full systems, and as we migrate towards systems, as I mentioned, that we have this 2x content potential as we've talked about before, as we move to systems. And so we're very excited about the OEMs awarding us the solid level of business for these two high-volume platforms and the potential that that sets up for us as we move towards systems.
And the only thing I would add, you know, this is early stages. These are customer planning volumes. You're talking about over a long period of time. Launch time is a question. What markets are going to be successful in? So it is a real... And the designs continue to change even, you know, as we go to start a production. So the content is moving. The potential revenue opportunity is moving. Just keep it in mind. This is a very new market, new development market that we're given some broad estimates, but we expect there will be changes and should be positive for TI's bill size as we move to systems and continue to increase our content in these vehicles.
Yeah, I think the important aspect of today's announcement is the fact that we won 50% of these two high-volume leading OEM electric vehicle platforms is an indicator of what's to come for TI and is proof that our strategy to convert our fluid handling products to electric vehicles from internal combustion engines is a reality. And we really hope that everyone sees it that way, because we're actually extremely excited about those two awards that complement the smaller awards that we've talked about in the past.
And just on this future opportunity then, would you agree with some of your competitors that these EV orders that were rather front-end loaded because there was this pent-up demand and a lot of orders have come to the market now, so that we see a deceleration in the platforms to be awarded now before we then sort of re-accelerate to a more sustainable level?
Yeah, Henning, that's probably fair. I think, you know, a lot of these OEMs are still developing their strategies, and we're, you know, taking our next steps to work with them. These awards are actually opening up a lot more opportunities to show what we can do. But I think it's a fair point. The way we're looking at it is, and, you know, it'll develop as we go forward. You got this market in 2025. You know, IHS, we've been talking about it, whether it's, you know, less than, you know, 5% somewhere around EVs of the global vehicle market. You know, by that time, in our success, you know, our revenue at that time frame should definitely be exceeding that of our, you know, as a percentage of our overall revenue. But keep in mind, these thermal products are typically one of the last items sourced on a vehicle, typically, you know, 18 months, 12 months before start of production. So to get to that time frame in terms of booked and ordered business, as you think about it, you're not talking to 2023. So this will be, you know, we believe there'll be various steps, progress towards our strategy, progress towards, you know, our book of business and our success in the addressable market in EVs and thermal and with pressurized fuel tanks, but it will be a progression. And these are two major, you know, two major OEMs that we've been successful with. So I think your point's valid, but there is a lot to play out here over the next, you know, years to come.
Okay, great. And maybe finally from me, just on the, really appreciate the quantification of the lifetime sales of these thermal products. Are you at all prepared to comment in a sort of group-wide sense what your order intake has been? I think this thermal order, if you just take book-to-bill on a half-year basis, almost 0.5 times book-to-bill on those orders alone. So it would be great to get a bit of a feeling what your order intake to sales is for the year and how that's evolved year over year.
I think it's really difficult. And, you know, the one thing that I'd say, you know, we're using customer planning volumes with this, which will change. I think we're very confident in terms of, as we look out in our business model in the medium term, that what we have in terms of, you know, book business and where we're headed, you know, our business model over the medium term is 3-4% outperformance. You know, we're very confident there as it relates to, you know, a book business off of very, you know, off of verified volumes or track record of volumes. This EV, PHEV world is still, you know, developing. So it gets to be very difficult, and I think it's one where, you know, we'll see how things progress. But in the near term, our confidence in our business model, our success in thermal and PHEV, you know, has definitely been increased with these awards.
So you'd rather not share group order intake numbers?
I think it's a problem. I mean, today, because it's a guess, and it's one where, you know, give us some volumes that everybody's predictive of, the designs are changing. I think it wouldn't be a good measure for us to go forward with to the market because it'd be continuing changing, you know. It is within our own business as we're thinking about it. I think there will be a stability point when we know more about where this market is and we can talk about it more succinctly and, you know, have confidence in terms of where the customers are at and where the designs are at. But today it's a difficult figure to get behind and have a lot of confidence in and talk to the market about.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Other questions from any of those in the room or on the line?
Yes, we'll take a further question on the phone line from Sarath Patel. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, hi. This is Sarath Patel from JP Morgan. Just to get a sense of the business, how much would be the share of the thermal management systems within the FCS sales as a percentage or even as a percentage of total sales? Thank you.
The majority of our business is in traditional ICE, FCS, so brake and fuel lines and the likes, it's a very small portion of our business today. And, you know, depending on where these, you know, volumes ramp up to on EV and thermal, you know, you're talking about past the medium term, the way we think about it, where they'd even be some, you know, decent percentage of that business.
Okay, all right. And just a follow-up, similarly for the plastic fuel tanks, how much would the share be within the FTDS division?
I think as we mentioned, that when we talk about full plug-in hybrids, you know, we're trending to more than 20% share of that market. If you recall, our overall plastic fuel tank market share is about 15%. So I think it's a good point of reference to show how we are trending to a better share in that business with our technology and our manufacturing process.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Other questions?
There are no further questions in the queue. I'd like to hand the call back to Mr. Bill Kozira for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, thank you very much. So there's no further questions. I again thank everybody for your attention today. I hope that you are as excited as we are with the solid financial performance that we have in the first half of the year that we're very proud and pleased to share with you today, which continues to demonstrate the great business model that TI Fluid Systems has. And also, we're very excited about our electric vehicle strategy and the confirmation of that with these two high-volume wins that we're very proud to announce today as well. So thank you very much for your time, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thank you.